Your teeth and disease. This will be a very interesting podcast today. It's based on a book that was written years ago, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, by Weston A. Price, DDS. He was a dentist from Cleveland who was interested in teaching besides being a dentist, and he took his wife, and they went to 22 countries, yes. And then, as they met the people, they would say, "Would you smile? I want to take your picture." And he could tell by the condition of their teeth what the health of their people was like on the average. So this is what we're going to review, and you're going to really like this. And especially considering my own experience, my parents did not teach me to brush my teeth. One day when I was at Indiana University, a fraternity brother came up to me. He says, "Rudy, would you brush your teeth because we have girls coming over?" That's the first time I brushed my teeth. I already had lost a cup of teeth, but fortunately, if you were to look at me today, you look at my YouTube shows, you can see me with a smile, and I still have the majority of them, and I brush my teeth and floss them now every day. I encourage you to do it. So let's get it on the road. Your teeth and disease, processed food and disease. The root cause of most diseases are your teeth. Isn't that interesting? Dr. Weston Price, DDS, in the 1930s, as far back as that, traveled the world visiting isolated indigenous communities and studied nutrition and relationship to chronic disease and dental health. That eventually formed the Price-Pottinger Nutrition Foundation. They integrated diet research and works of Dr. Price. So they still exist today. The Price's original book has copyright rights and are now owned by the Price-Pottinger Foundation. In summation, his trip has many pictures which are in this book. Dr. Price's research proved that dental decay is caused primarily by nutritional deficiencies and that those conditions promote decay and also promote secondary diseases from dementia to Alzheimer's disease to heart disease, to increased rate of many diseases, cancers, many other chronic diseases, most of which could be prevented by proper dental care and nutrition. Isn't this wonderful news? So Dr. Price found 14 indigenous diets, although radically different, provided complete immunity to tooth decay and chronic illness. Isn't that interesting? So, rampant dental caries, increased facial deformities, and to children that were born, if their parents were eating a very poor diet, had very poor teeth, their children would be born with deformed faces that could be prevented. Diets of the healthy primitive people that Dr. Price studied were diverse, some on domesticated animals, some on game, some on dairy, some ate no plant foods, while others had a variety of fruits, vegetables, grains, legumes. These diets had something in common. None were processed the more processed foods you ate, sugar, flour, skimmed or pasteurized milk, canned food, refined or hydrogenated vegetable oils, animal protein and animal fat. So eating the foods they were naturally found in nature were more healthy, and that's described in detail in this book. So Dr. Price analyzed these diets and found all had a certain amount of minerals, the healthy teeth, certain amount of water, certain amount of vitamins. The American diet, he found, had 10 times the amount of soluble vitamins found in concentrated animal fats, vitamin A and D. Price considered these fat-soluble vitamins can be activated. Foods that supplied minerals and vitamins included butterfat, marine oils, organ meats, fish, eggs. Dr. Ernest Houghton of Harvard University emphasized oral sepsis and tasks of stopping tooth decay. He wrote a book. Formerly, it was believed that the health of humanity to discover prevention of tooth decay can decrease dental deformities and affect the course of human evolution. These facts we must face, that the human teeth and the human mouth have become, under the inflammatory situation now, our jaws are too small because of the food we've been eating. Ultimately, Dr. Price believed that this could cause our extinction. Very interesting. Many further editions of Dr. Price's book have been published, and I'm going to quote from you the fourth edition, which came out in 1970. To fully understand the implications of Dr. Price's work and the supporting evidence of others, one must think in terms of ecology and cellular metabolism. For our era of synthetic chemicals has complicated the observations. A simple definition of ecology is the relationship of man, beast, fish, fowl, vegetation, and all other forms of life to each other, to the living soil, and to the total environment. Over many centuries, the relatively simple life of primitive man and beast has gradually changed to a complex, artificial, and chemicalized civilization, and has gradually changed to posing new and difficult problems of adaptation. Food fresh from fertile soil or the sea has been replaced for the most part by refined, processed, and preserved produce of far different nutritional qualities. The Industrial Revolution started a migration to the cities, which in turn has created demand for foods that could be transported long distances and stored without spoilage. In the past 200 years, the natural fertility of our soil has rapidly declined. At first, when crop failures appeared, settlers simply abandoned their farms and moved west to virgin areas. Later, the application of manure composed of animal or crop residues and the rotation of crops were effective in maintaining fertility. Most recently, the increasing availability of artificial fertilizers of high nitrogen content has enabled the grower to harvest one crop after another without allowing the land to lie without use. a custom which encouraged the multiplication of soil organisms that in turn would release soil nutrients as needed by plants. Once again, his better judgment, the modern farmer has been forced to use monoculture, artificial fertilizer, pesticides, herbicides, and mechanisms in order to keep ahead of ruinous taxation, information, and cost of production. The result has been production for quantity rather than quality, and the gradual destruction of our precious topsoil and mineral reserves in or beneath the soil. This has been well documented by Dr. William Albrecht of the University of Missouri. Our markets are flooded with attractive but relatively tasteless vegetables and fruits. The protein content of wheat and other grains has gradually declined, this being a reliable index of soil fertility. Animal foods such as fowl and meat reflect similar changes. Fowl are usually raised in cramped quarters and their food limited to that prescribed by man. As a result, cirrhotic livers are common and egg quality is inferior. Both groups are frequently treated with antibiotics and thyroid drugs and hormones, which produce castration, myxedema, and waterlogged tissues. These practices are designed to simulate more weight gain and less feed. The advantage to the producers are obvious. To the consumer, they are indeed questionable. Moreover, in this day and age, human beings are increasingly exposed to thousands of chemicals in air, food, and water. They're dosing themselves or being dosed with a multitude of drugs. Chemical contacts include additives, pesticides, herbicides, nitrates, and the effluents from modern industry. Many of these coal tar products or their derivatives and other synthetic compounds, completely foreign to the experience of man's biological makeup. Long-lasting chlorinated hydrocarbon pesticides such as DDT have even penetrated our food chain. In some areas, at least herbicides as 2,4-D and 2,4-5-T contaminated by the highly toxic and tetragenic bibenzodioxin have entered our food and water supplies. This is also true of other chlorinated diphenyls, which are products of modern industry. These compounds may pose even more of a threat than DDT. Recently, use of DDT and related chemicals are now found in most living creatures from the Arctic to the Antarctic, including phytoplankton, which furnish the basic food for fish, but produce much of the oxygen essential for our survival. Through biological magnification of amounts tend to increase in vertebrates high in the food chain. Pelicans and bald eagles are threatened with extinction. Abnormal softness seems to follow pathological rapid destruction of sex hormones by liver enzymes, whose actions are speeded up by DDT. Nutritional surveys in the United States and Canada have indicated that malnutrition is just as prevalent on this continent as other countries. Some individuals in all walks of life are affected. Their problems seem to be one of neglect in production and of truly nourishing foods. At last, we are faced with the inevitable consequence of our prolific use and abuse of natural resources. The laws of God and nature are immutable. They cannot long be broken without retribution, as the author has aptly stated. Life in all its fullness is Mother Nature obeyed. So what should we do? Because we want to live and be healthy and live a long life. Number one, we can reduce the consumption of sugar in all forms to an absolute minimum. If you watch my previous podcast, you can see I have one on sugar addiction. It'd be a good one to watch again. Number two, avoid white or ordinary whole wheat bread. Eat only whole grain breads made from freshly ground flour, free of chemical preservatives. The production of such bread would require a mill and adequate bakeries in every community. Number three, when available, use only fresh fruits, vegetables, dark green leaves of lettuce, and other greens, such as watercress, that have been raised in fertile soil without the use of insecticides. Ordinary fruits should be peeled because of possible pesticide residues, and vegetables thoroughly washed for the same reason. Home gardens are to be encouraged. Frozen or canned vegetables and fruits are nourishing but less desirable. Next, sprouted beans and other seeds contain desirable nutrients and are free of contamination. They can be sprouted in every kitchen. The consumption of 60% or more of food in the uncooked state seems logical. And lastly, avoid fats and foods cooked in reused fats, such as ordinary potato chips, French fried potatoes. Recent preliminary evidence adduced by Robert S. Ford suggests that partially rancid fats rather than animal fats per se may be one of the real villains responsible for arteriosclerosis. Sources of stale fats include products such as bread, crackers, pastries, commercial cereals. In summary, it is very important that you brush your teeth at least twice a day and floss them too. I've been doing it for decades now, and I go see the dentist, and they find absolutely nothing wrong. My smile, good enough to be used regularly on my TV shows. You can go to YouTube, Cashman, K-A-C-H-M-A-N-N, and name a disease, and you'll see me there smiling on a TV show. See you next time. Bye.